This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Hunker down in your homes. I'm going to go ahead and presume as everything is closed. And let me just say this, Jeffrey. I tweeted out a photo of the studio here, the Odyssey Studios. And as you can tell, things look very forbidding at the moment.
Live look.
And I have to say, like a lot of times I might be accused of being the smug Yankee who will tell you, oh, it's not so bad out there. Well, only a wimp would not. I drove the approximately 3 minutes from my home to the studio, and I have to say this. I was glad y'all weren't out there with me.
I totally agree.
I was really glad I was pretty much alone. And in that span of time, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, one car just spinning his wheels, just stuck on the side of the road, and then the police were around another accident. And they may have been the only two vehicles I saw. What was your experience?
So my experience was the roads are pure ice.
Pure ice!
Like, and there's not even, like, snow on top
of it.
No, they're
just ice.
It's just pure ice. The one thing I was glad that you point out, because the roads are so bad, there were not people driving like a-holes on it.
And that's exactly right.
I was able to get to work. There weren't trucks flying by, correct.
You.
Spinning you out, and then like you're rooting for them. Please run into the utility bowl.
No.
Please run into the utility bowl.
It's kind of forbidding out there, I have to say. And the other problem is Jeffrey, this is funny because I grew up in the North. If you look at my car right now, and I even got the ice scraper out.
Oh, yeah.
My windshield wipers are sticking basically up and out like bug antennas.
Yep.
Why is that? What's happening there? I don't know what the... I kind of wiped them off. They still are. I was driving down the road. They aren't functioning. They're not wiping on whatever. They're just sticking straight out like bug antennas as I'm careening down the road.
The only thing I think of...
There must be some ice at the base of them forcing them out.
Or like snow compacted that's like pushed them up and out.
I didn't have time to sit and fret about that. I did clean off my windshield. I'd made it. I would urge you all, and I say this because I love you, to stay home.
I had a nice comedic scene this morning that I think you would have loved.
Uh-huh.
So we have a gate on my driveway, and...
Isn't that fancy?
Oh, yeah. It's not as fancy as it looks. It's actually more of an inconvenience than probably protection.
Mm-hmm. Is it hit a little button and the gate swings open?
Correct. But...
Ostensibly, theoretically?
This morning,
yeah.
You hit the button and nothing.
And nothing happens.
And
that
then...
would be my fear.
So I was like, okay, well...
in my own home.
There's snow or something blocking it. I go and I try to clean that off, and 35 minutes later, having to reset the gate 3 different times, my hands are frozen.
Reset a gate. See, I don't want a gate I have to reset.
Yep, that's a problem. And not only that, you have to go and get a power drill to get into the gate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's been a morning.
I would have been trapped. I would have been on Zoom. Anyway, we're here,
though. I had to be here for you.
I appreciate that, Jeffrey. I appreciate the power drill. I appreciate the resetting. I appreciate all the efforts.
My family's probably not safe, but you know what?
It's quite something out there. And again, I would urge you to stay home. We'll have a full show to entertain you. We got John Martin in the next segment. I'm guaranteeing John isn't going to be here. But
I've already sent him a Zoom link.
He'll be joining us by Zoom, I'm certain. Chris Harrington, he's in the great, great, great north that is Minnesota. He's going to be joining us. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. He's got a film piece about what's happening in Memphis film. That always appears at the Daily Memphian, and you can read that as well. More Grizzlies conversation with Chris. And then Sam Hardiman has had an extraordinarily busy week. He's going to join us. In fact, like this would be a legit week that we could talk to Sam about one of the things that unites us, which is our love of hockey. Back when Sam was at the CA, I don't know how I knew he liked hockey. I liked hockey. We had lunch together.
Is it like a Yankee thing? Like
we had lunch together.
Can he smell it? Can he smell hockey fans?
Brought together by hockey. And I have to say, it went about as well as the first 9 seconds of the U.S.-Canada match.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call Sam the Kachuks in this one. Like, yep. He like came at me.
Brought it.
Yeah.
Well, like, as a real Pats fan,
we were rivals. Mm-hmm. We were journalism rivals, and so our love of hockey did not transcend the journalism rivalry. Now, since then, he is as a free agent came over to the Daily Memphian, and I admired his work then. I admire it now. And but anyway, we do still love hockey, and this would be a week when we could actually talk about hockey. There's been more. Talk back and forth between the Canadian and U.S. teams. One of the Canadian players basically accused the Kachuks of doing this all for show.
Mm.
He basically said, you know, we just play for the flag.
And of course.
We just play for the flag. We don't play for the cameras. We don't have group chats that we love to tell you about. Because the Kachuks said, well, listen, we had this group chat where we talked about we were going to fight you in advance. Like, they after the game, that's what they said. Like, it was all performative, right? Basically, Canadian player is basically saying the Americans are just a bunch of posers, and it was all performative.
Oh, and that's some elite loser talk. That's elite loser talk.
I don't know. This game's going to be in Boston. And
we better not be able to hear anything after the first note of O Canada. I want thunderous boos.
You want to boo O Canada?
It has nothing to do. Like, it's simply
just
because.
Holding up your.
Correct.
I'm not. Do you think they will boo O Canada?
Absolutely. It's Boston. Heck yeah.
No. They're going to boo O Canada?
Oh, yeah. I got no problem with it.
I hadn't thought about that. Only as because they're booing.
Correct.
They're booing the national anthem.
But listen, we put that in the group chat.
Anyway, we could talk to Sam about that. We could also, Sam has been one of the preeminent pickleball haters of the community. And he texted me the other day, and I was like, I don't even know you. He said, I'm coming around on pickleball.
I think it's too cold for even him to play golf.
So that could be it.
Yeah.
But because there is so much actual news to talk about, so we talked to him a lot about XAI, and now there's two different pieces of XAI news. One is that appears that Memphis is going to sell XAI these 13 acres so they can build the water treatment plant. That seems good to me. On the other hand, now XAI, and this is a story Sam had, I think, last week, is applying for permits to continue to power the plant with gas turbines. And that seems bad because it seems, I come at this from a very simplistic place, but the environmental groups are not suggest that that is going to be a considerable pollutant. So we'll talk to Sam about that. In addition to that, he's been writing about FedEx Forum, which we're going to talk about a little more in a moment, and the improvements that will be done to FedEx Forum, the renovations that have already honestly been undertaken, or at least bringing it up to speed before the more considerable renovations are undertaken, the possibility of a new lease as well. And then Elon Musk actually, XAI, they revealed their newest gizmo. I don't think that's the official term, the chatbot Grok 3. And in the course of this, Musk talked about why he chose Memphis. So just a whole bunch of news from Sam Hardiman that we will get to. So that's the lineup. It's John Martin. It's then Chris Harrington. It's then Sam Hardiman, all from the Daily Memphian. I would urge you to Daily Memphian, nonprofit, by the way, just so you know, is a nonprofit exists, honestly, because a bunch of Memphians decided that we needed a local news source that was not, you know, out of town owned, corporately run, being diminished by the constant demand of profit and
private equity.
And so, And so, that's why the Daily Memphian exists. I'm proud to be a part of it. We had Drew Hill yesterday was there for the Desmond Bain retirement ceremony. I think he was probably, I think he was the only Memphis journalist at the TCU game. He was there as Desmond Bain had his number retired. And so just another thing that the Daily Memphian does, consider subscribing or getting someone else's subscription if you already subscribe. But what I wanted to talk about, Jeffrey, was two things that were tossed out just randomly yesterday on social media that had to do with the Grizzlies. One was Darius Garland's suggestion. You see this?
So I haven't seen this one.
Darius Garland suggested that the Grizzlies should move to Nashville.
Okay.
Did you see that?
I've not, but all right.
Yeah, and then the other one is the Howard Beck. Howard Beck on a podcast for The Ringer. You saw that one?
I did see this one.
Yeah. He said that an anonymous executive, an anonymous NBA executive, suggested that one of the folks that you should look out for who might possibly be traded this offseason is Ja Morant. Here's the quote. I'm constantly checking in with executives around trade deadline about, like, okay, what we saw, what we didn't see, what's next. And in this league, you're always, always on the lookout for who's the next wave of stars that are going to get dealt, right? And somebody out of the blue said, keep an eye on Ja this summer. I'm just saying it's one of those things I'm just kind of keeping an eye on if they were to flame out early. So let's take those two. And by the way, both just like, the one that is, let's take the to say that it's irresponsible isn't right. It's just a suggestion by Darius Garland. You know where he grew up? Nashville. Know where he went to school?
Nashville.
Vandy.
Yeah,
like whatever. Like Darius Garland wants, that's fine. You know what? Know what I want? I want
an NFL team?
I want the Titans to move to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, like, I don't want that roster to move to Memphis, but I would like.
And we don't want the Adams.
We don't really want the ownership to move to Memphis. I don't want the,
but we want the.
I don't want necessarily the empty stands filled with opposing team fans moving to Memphis. Like I don't want it to be the place that, you know, where if you want to go see your team play and you can get an easy ticket because they're not. I don't want that to unfold in Memphis. But I would like
Charger games.
I would like the Titans to move to Memphis. I would like that in the same way that Darius Garland would like the Grizzlies to move to Nashville. Seems like I can express a preference there, right?
Yes, you may.
I do think, by the way, that and this one of the really nice things to see happening is, and we'll talk to Sam about it, is just the slow, relatively low profile movement towards a new Grizzlies lease. It's, remember, was it two summers ago now, Jeffrey?
Yes.
When there was a food fight about all this?
Yes, it was two summers ago.
And now,
Mark
like,
was still here.
Yesterday, at City Council, they had a vote. And again, we'll talk to Sam about this. The vote was to go ahead and give $80 million to the Grizzlies to start renovating FedEx Forum. Now, there has to be, the way these votes go, you've got to have multiple votes. And this was a non-binding committee vote. It was whatever, unanimous non-binding committee vote. Now they're going to have more votes that are binding. They got to have multiple votes and consult your civic affairs expert for how exactly that works. But the $80 million will go to the Grizzlies so they can do these improvements. And as Mayor Paul Young told Sam Hardiman a couple weeks ago, he expects a new lease this summer. that will be a good thing. And let's be honest. I've said this before. I'll say it again. It's to the credit of Robert Pera that all of this is proceeding the way it is, quietly, seemingly inexorably, towards a new lease. Now, it's funny. I've considered at various times writing a column in praise of Robert Pera. And one reason I haven't is because you just never know when you're going to wake up and an owner is going to stab you in the back.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you just, what do I have met Robert Pera.
You're one of the few that's actually
twice.
Interviewed him one-on-one.
I've interviewed him one-on-one. I do not begin to know Robert Pera, know how he thinks, know how he's thinking now about the Grizzlies, know if he's, I'll tell you what I really, here's what I really believe about Robert Pera. He is rich as can be. He likes owning an NBA team. He might prefer it to be in a place that makes more money, where that generates more revenue. I think he probably would. I think he would probably prefer it to be in a place that generates more revenue. Who wouldn't? That generates where the franchise value is higher. I think he would prefer that. But my sense is that Robert Pera has enough money that he's not out to screw some city. You know, that if he had wanted to, he could have. As we've said this a million times, under the last lease, the Grizzlies' attendance was such that an escape clause under the last lease was triggered. And had Robert Pera at that point wanted to move the Grizzlies, there it was, in the lease. Boom. Exit. Instead, very quietly, they renegotiated the lease, came up with a solution that was amenable to the Grizzlies, to the city, the county, and here they remained. I think that Robert Pera wants to win a championship. And my suspicion is that the thing that most bothers him about Memphis, if something bothers him about Memphis, is this whole, can you get players to come to Memphis, right?
Sure.
Like, but the notion that we have heard almost nothing about moving the team and that they are, and maybe this sounds crazy to y'all who think $550 million is public money is a lot of money, because it is, but they're not insisting on what, for example, Oklahoma City was insisting on, which is a brand-ass new arena. Like, here's the truth. It may not sound like that, and it's only in the crazy world of sports franchises where civic money, public money is just part of the deal. The city and county are getting off easy. And it appears that we're going to have a happy resolution here. Now, nothing is also, once there is a lease, it's still not, like, in the end, so much of this is bound up in the future of the city. Like, what matters here is that Memphis regains momentum. And the Grizzlies, I think, consider themselves part of the solution. And that is to their immense credit. They roll up their sleeves. They do all kinds of things about trying to address the problems of downtown. In the end, I'll tell you this, if the city spirals around the drain for the next 10 years, lease or no lease, there's going to be more escape clauses in that lease, just
sure.
like there was in the last lease.
There's always protection.
So what matters is that we regain momentum as a city, but it appears there is going to be a new lease, and it appears the Grizzlies are here, if not to stay forever and ever, because who knows, for a good long while. And the talk about Nashville, it is interesting. It's like the specter that people, yeah, are going to move to Nashville, right? I've always had a very hard time buying that one in particular, because I just couldn't imagine. Again, I just couldn't imagine the state getting behind that. In other words, state money would be needed to do that, right?
Yep.
And I couldn't imagine the state, as much as you may think they loathe Memphis, wanting to stab Memphis in the back to that extent. It always seemed like a non-starter to me, politically, a total non-starter, honestly. And as much as you may think other folks in the state hate Memphis, it really doesn't benefit the state as a whole if the second largest city is struggling, right? That doesn't,
yep.
that doesn't help either. So I've never really bought that as a threat, but it was just interesting that
I'd also point this out. if Nashville really thought this were possible, they would be making moves. And look at what they've been doing. All right, they have actively publicly been seeking a Major League Baseball team.
Right.
And then they announced that they're building a brand new football stadium.
Right.
Yep. There's nothing.
No, yeah. I mean, this is just one. This is just right. This is just one player wishing for something because
sure.
he's
from Nashville.
He went to Vandy.
Yeah.
And so whatever. Again, we're allowed to wish for whatever we want. I do think it highlights and underscores how positive it has been that this, I think, potentially treacherous period. Certainly, had there been different ownership, that this seems to be being negotiated. And managed by the city and by the Grizzlies. And it's to everyone's credit. So that happened. And then there's the jaw thing. And, like, whatever. We just saw Luka get traded.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, we talked about if the Grizzlies, it's funny, the way that it was framed is if they flame out.
Right.
Right? That's the way it was flamed. What is the definition of flaming out?
I think another first round exit.
Is that it is funny though. It is what's weird is let me ask you this. With the Grizzlies and the Tigers both, how good are they? Like how like put everything aside. Like you could be offended. It's funny. I was watching this I was watching the Tigers game the other day with a devout Memphis fan and he said, "I know I'm supposed to be mad that they weren't in the top 16." They don't seem like a top 16 team to me. They don't seem like some, you know, overpoweringly, unbelievably great team to me, is what he said. And so how good are the Tigers and how good are the Grizzlies?
So the only
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. Haven't they both overperformed? Go ahead. The only problem, what were you going to say?
So
I'll shut up.
With the top 16 reveal, I think eye test suggests I agree with him. With that said, though, if you watch it, I think that's coming from the perspective of someone that largely just watches Memphis
right.
basketball.
I think that's true, too.
Because yep. you've seen what high-end teams look like, and you're like, this team doesn't quite live up to that. But if you start thinking about, okay, who are the teams that are listed as well? Okay, like Auburn, I set them aside. Like I said this yesterday. Somehow the number one team and the number one seed feels like they're underrated and undervalued. But we saw them be quasi-competitive with Alabama. We have seen them, we've seen them beat Michigan State. We've seen them beat UConn. Like, how good are those teams? I don't
know. Well, what's interesting is it almost feels like their record, I mean, the things they accomplished in the non-conference suggest they should be a top. That is a top 16 non-conference record.
Yes.
There's no question about that. Let me phrase it another way. Both the Grizzlies and the Tigers at this point in the first round, they're in the when they hit the postseason, they will presumably, it appears, they will be the higher seeded team looking across at their opponent.
Yes.
Right? And it appears that they might just be kind of in the same position, higher seeded, but to a team that they are maybe only a slight favorite over, right? Like if you are a seven seed, or if you're the four or five, let's say the four seed in the West,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of comparable. Like if you're who would the Tigers be playing as a six or seven right now? Give me some teams that if the Tigers right now actually I saw one bracket that had them playing Vandy, right?
All right, here's kind of like the list of teams that they could see. Ohio State, West Virginia, Texas, San Diego State, the aforementioned Vandy, Oklahoma's listed. I think they're playing their way out. BYU, who just absolutely curb-stomped Kansas at home.
Okay, now you take those teams, and then let me rattle off these teams. The Timberwolves, the Clippers, the Lakers, Dallas,
Houston, Denver.
Like the just as the Tigers are seated ahead of those teams you just rattled off,
yep.
the Grizzlies are seated ahead of the teams I just rattled off. Are they better? Like yeah, who's more apt to who's in more danger of losing their first round series or game, the Tigers or the Grizzlies, or is it equal?
I think you have to say it's the Tigers because, in general, it's just a 40-minute game, and you could have a bad night, and the other team could have a good night.
So if you are the better team,
correct,
you're in more danger because it's a single game.
Correct. So the longer the series goes on, the more you have the opportunity to prove it.
Let me ask you this, which is, I guess it will be called a flameout if the Grizzlies lose. They will be. It will be called a flameout if the Grizzlies lose their first round series. Will it be called a flameout if the Tigers lose their first game? I think so. Which is the bigger, quote-unquote, flameout? Which is the bigger disappointment?
So I would argue it's the Grizzlies because I'm using the context of how I defined this year for the Tigers. It was so chaotic, and you had so much going on in the summer. I felt like the most important thing is, let's get this thing back on the rails.
What's funny is, though, how similar it actually, if for different reasons, they both missed last year.
Yep.
Right? They both had chaotic, bad years last year. This was both recovery years for each of them. They both have coaches who've been there a long time who've gendered some mixed feelings. They both have kind of failed previously to get as far as people sort of had hoped they would get, given the opportunities that were in front of them. I think they're remarkably analogous.
Yeah, the only thing I would argue, though, is the Tigers felt like it was self-inflicted. And while you can make the argument that the Ja Morant suspension was self-inflicted, the injuries weren't. Like, the injuries are, like, last year, the reason why, like, they absolutely collapsed.
Well, shouldn't that make this more important for the Tigers than then? Because, like, for the Grizzlies, hey, we just got self-inflicted in. What do you expect? We didn't have a bad year last year. Whereas the Tigers...
No, I think with the Tigers, the most important thing this year was proof of concept again, which is, okay, yes, we had all that happen last year, all the chaos, whatnot. We're taking a different approach this year. We're going to be buttoned up, and they've proven it.
If they both lose first round, we're hoping that's not true. I'll flip it around in a minute. They both win first round. If they both lose first round, will you say the Tigers had a successful season, and would you say the Grizzlies had a successful season?
If the Tigers lose the first round, I still say it's a successful season because, to me, the whole point was prove you can get back to the tournament.
That is the bar we set at the
correct
beginning of the...
We can talk about the lowering of the standard, but reality was, for me, it's like they have to have a reset year where they just prove we can be stable.
And if the Grizzlies lose the first round, you will not say they had a successful season.
I think it also, though, depends on, okay, where do they finish? Like, because this is a really big... I know it's technically not the second half of the season because they played more than half of their games, but
now they leave today, by the way, for Indiana, resume play tomorrow against the Pacers.
So we're
28 games left.
54 games, right? Yes, so 28 games left. So if you tell me that...
I'm just going to tell you they're going to finish in the top four.
And
then they lose.
I think you have to say, like, disappointing in, but it was still, if it's pass fail, they passed. Because...
It's funny, one of the differences is, with the Grizzlies, we know there's a window. There's no window with the Tigers, right? They can keep taking another shot.
Everything's year to year.
Everything's year to year. With the Grizzlies, given these players, they would have gone another year without making a deep playoff run with this core. I don't think you will say it's successful. I will not. If they lose their first round series, I will not say it was a successful season.
I mean, the problem with the hypothetical is, what does it look like?
Because, of course. Like, is it because someone got injured? Is it because whatever? Like, there's no question.
Well, I mean, like, let's take the series against the Lakers 2 years ago. The Lakers end up making the Western Conference Finals. And
yeah, but let's be honest. That was a disaster.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, on paper, if you just looked at it, it's not as big of a disaster as 2-7 upset.
Right.
When you turn... We consider Anthony Davis played unbelievably.
When you talk about being clown,
correct,
embarrassed,
but
Dylan Brooks.
It was Dylan. It was the jaw freakouts. It was all. It was the jaw drama from the year. It was just everything that made it feel.
You're not allowed to do this with hypotheticals, though. You're not. You're not allowed to demand the details in advance.
Well, I'm not.
Of course they matter.
Well, like, my point is, I'm not trying to not answer the question, but, like, let's say that they get into they're in the 4-5 game, and let's say it's the Grizzlies and the Clippers.
Right. I get it. Do you think they're both going to win their first round series?
Yes. Now, if you're asking me, do I think the Tigers get to the second weekend? I'm
Well, no, you would say no, because they will be an underdog given the current where they are right now in terms of seeding. It appears they will be an underdog, right?
Yes. Yeah, so Mark's got a story coming out over at USA Today. He's talking, I hope I'm not spilling too much, but he's talking with the metrics people, the Ken Palms, the Bart Torvicks of the world, and he's taking a look at the whole selection process. And so he and I are kind of going back and forth yesterday. And my working theory is that as we've turned more to analytics and metrics, I think what we've done is we've done a better job of selecting the teams and making sure there aren't just like god-awful, how did you get here teams. Like, you just got here because you were...
And that's why it's less likely they'll advance, because it's more finely tuned.
But where we've really struggled is seeding.
Oh, okay.
Because the predictive metrics are given a lot of weight, and even the people that have the predictive metrics go, you should still pay more attention to what you do on the basketball floor. Like, they all acknowledge that, because it's a work in process. So, you could easily wind up being... Either you're underseeded, you're overseeded. Like, you always.
Yeah, but I mean, right now they're bearing down on Planet 2 in the second round. And that's, you're not, they will not be, I'm going to tell you right now, they are not going to be favored to win their second round game if they get past the
first. So this
first
is
game.
What I thought was interesting. And I'll hopefully explore this more as we get closer to the tournament. I went back since 2010 and I looked at the Final Four representatives.
Mm hmm.
And obviously, I hope everybody's sitting down for this. Number one seeds have a very high rate, something like 32-33%. But I thought this was interesting. Three sevens have made the Final Four in that time frame. Zero sixes. And so my working theory, though, is if you're a seven, oftentimes these two seeds are very, very flawed. And I just think that whereas a three seed oftentimes can be the team that was super talented, but they just took some bad losses, whatnot. I think there's an argument to be made. To me, it's like the number one thing is avoid the 8-9. And beyond that, see how it rolls.
All right, we're going to talk to John Martin about all this in a moment. We'll talk to Chris Harrington and then Sam Hardiman. Busy day on the Jeff Calkins show. I've been telling you about Leaders Credit Union. Oh, you know what? Claire last night said her sons live here now. Conroy and Nathaniel. And she said that she's going to head out to Leaders Credit Union to get an account for Conroy. So how about that? And again, we literally put our money, where our mouth is. And it's just it's funny. When they first approached me, I'm like, okay, Leaders Credit Union. I knew they were active in West Tennessee and I'd heard about them. But then you start hearing about, you know, you can get a car loan. You can get a home loan. You can do all the stuff you can do at your bank, except you know that because it's a credit union, you're a member, and they're not, like, making money off you. Every dollar goes back into it. It just made all the sense in the world. And then our dealing with that has confirmed it. They have a new, brand-new location in Arlington. We've gone to the one in Bartlett. But you can just download the app, honestly. The app's fabulous. And check it out. It's Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. John Martin joins us on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So I got bad news. Ocala's closed today because of, well, you know why. Jeffrey and I ventured into the studio, and our joint conclusion was that you should not venture out because it was, at least when we headed in here, it was damn icy. So the good folks at Ocala said, you know what, this is kind of nutty. But when they open tomorrow, it's going to feel like springtime. When the doors open, it's going to feel like springtime. You're going to walk in there. It's going to be filled with color, spring and summer merchandise, and time to start loading up. All departments, a women's department, swimwear. Let's say maybe you're heading somewhere warm. Good for you. Seems like a good idea. Load up for some swimwear at Ocala. Whatever you need for spring or wherever you are traveling. We got the Masters just around the corner, Jeffrey. They'll be there for you at Ocala. Same fabulous people, same beautiful clothing. Again, closed today, but tomorrow when the doors open, it'll feel like springtime. Joined now by John Martin, Jason John every single day from 11 till 2. John, you are a wager. You like to wager, right? You do like to wager. I've seen that. I've heard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do it quite a bit.
I have seen some. Have you been wagering on the hockey?
No, the Four Nations, I have not.
Okay, here you go. I'll give you some prop bets that are available. Okay, will there be a fight in the first minute of the game? Yes, plus 1,000. No, minus 5,000. How many fights will there be? 0, 1, 3 or more, or 2, all have different numbers. When will the first fight occur? How about this one? Will a player be bleeding after first fight? Yes, plus 600. No, minus 1,500. Which team's player will bleed after first fight? Canada, minus 130. U.S., 110. Will a player's helmet come off during first fight? Which team's helmet will come off during first fight? Will the goalies fight each other? Will there be 3 fights and 3 unanswered goals in the game? And then individual, you can name which player will fight during a game. Would you go, let me ask you,
Would you go, I'm going to take the Kachuk brothers off the board, right? Because you know them. You know them. Would you go Sam Bennett, Brandon Hagel, Drew Doughty, Brad Marchand, JT Miller, Mark Stone, Travis Sanheim, Connor Hellebuck? Who would you go with there, John?
Man, I've been laboring over this, man. I've been trying to, you know, figure out first who is who are. That's been my first.
Connor Hellebuck is the goalie. He's not going to be in it. He's not gonna,
for us or Canada. I mean,
he's the U.S. He's not going to be in a scrap. Did you watch any?
I did not watch. I mean, I take that back. I tuned in at the very end when Canada had the empty net and, you know, the United States kind of poured it on there. But
how did you become aware of the Four Nations?
Well, so I'm not, as you know, like I don't pay attention to hockey at all.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't even know that this was a thing. But I'm on my sportsbook app. And I'm like, and I see this Four Nations thing, uh-huh. You know, I love betting on international basketball. It's one of my favorite, like when you get FIBA and Olympics and all that, I love it. So I'm like, huh, what is Four Nations? What is this all about? And so, you know, of course I figured out and, I, you know, it happened to be going on. I'm like, okay, let me see what's up. You know, United States is up 2-1 and, I heard about the fight. Everybody was tweeting about the fight on Twitter and, you know, yeah, I thought it was intriguing. You know, I think it's one of those things where it's new, so it's good. It's new and good, so which is the perfect combination.
Just like your show was once, you know.
Exactly. Now it's neither.
No, now it's just good. Now it's just gold plated.
It's not
good.
New or
it
good.
Was not. Once upon a time, it was not. Once upon a time, it was not. It was not. It was good, but it was not. And now it's no longer new. Anyway, all right. Just wanted to ask you about that. I didn't know what sort of degenerate you'd actually become when it came.
No, I mean, you know, look. Here's the thing. You know, people always do.
I have bet on both games.
Jeffrey has bet on both games.
My country needed me.
I mean, I think like what you see is, you know, a lot of times people will make fun of you, right? Like when I told people that I bet on the Rising Stars game with the Grizzlies, they said, call the number. And, you know, what I would say to that is yes, but also, you know, there's an edge to be had in these games because they're inefficient markets and nobody knows anything about them. So if you have a little bit of an edge, which my edge was, I think Jalen Wells and Zach Edey are going to care more than anybody else. And Stephon Castle, who got benched because of De'Aaron Fox, is going to care more than everybody else. That's a pretty big edge if you're paying attention. So
there you go. Speaking of international basketball, by the way, I want to get to the Tigers and the Grizzlies here in a second. But speaking of international basketball, they have this new Netflix special on the you know, following these teams around during the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they have this
court
clip.
Court of gold.
Yeah, yeah. And the court of gold. And they have this clip from Kevin Durant. I'm going to play you just a little bit about it. Here's a clip from Kevin Durant.
I looked in the crowds, 27,000 people from all walks of life, all different countries. Coming together for basketball, man. It's just like, it's incredible to see that. You know what I mean? So, like, as much as I can, like, bring us together that way, that's what I try to do.
I can tell how much he means to you, man.
Nah, for sure. For sure. Because it's like, I come from neighborhoods where people don't even talk to each other. Like, so much hate in the world, too. It's like, people get to start laughing and joking for the game of ball. Like, it's cool to me. So, like, it get me emotional, dog. My bad. Because it's crazy to see somebody say they travel so long to come see their favorite player play in the Olympics. They spend their money, they bring their whole family. Like, it's just dope to me. The game just saved my life, so it brought me and my family out of a lot of bull, so I'm just like grateful for it.
You're a crier, John. What'd you think of that?
I loved it. I loved because, you know, I mean, I watched basically every Olympic game that there was to watch. I mean, I watched the qualifiers. I mean, even the games that didn't involve the United States. I watched the World Cup, you know, a year ago. Obviously, that was a very different team. But, you know, I'm very much – an active rider on the journey of this U.S. basketball team. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that the experience meant what it meant to KD. And to me, it makes it even sweeter as an American that these guys all, you know, they decided, hey, you know, Steph, KD, LeBron, you know, we're going to ride one more time for our country. And, you know, I know we certainly have our differences, but at the end of the day, like it meant a lot to Kevin Durant and those guys to wear that jersey and to represent their country and to win for their country. You know,
people like to clown on Kevin Durant, but I don't know how you can't like that. That's
I love that. I mean, that's a vulnerable person. You know, that's an emotionally vulnerable person who's opening up, and you know, not everybody's going to do that. You know, some people are going to be too cool for school, and he's basically saying, listen, man, like it's insane that we're all across the world and we have people bringing their whole entire families to, you know, from America to support their countrymen and to watch us play basketball. You know, it seems like it's the first time he's had fun playing basketball in a long time.
This year hasn't helped. So, all right, I am going to shift gears here, John. We were talking earlier because there was that Howard Beck thing that they threw out yesterday. A GM, if the Grizzlies flame out, they could possibly trade John Morant this summer. Blah blah blah. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then we really, whatever. Anyone can be traded. I heard you say that on the show yesterday. That's obviously true. If Luka's traded, anyone can be traded. Whatever. It's supposed to be possible. But what is flaming out? And so then we ask the question, if the Grizzlies lose the first round, is that flaming out? And if the Tigers lose the first round, is that flaming out? Because they're very similar situations. They're both going to be presumably the higher seed, right? They're going to both be favored, but they're going to be both be favored against teams that are honestly roughly comparable. And some might think, depending on the matchup, in both situations, you know, could be quite a challenge for them. Is one more likely to advance out of the first round than the other? And are they both flameouts if they lose?
You know, when you ask two questions, the second question always gets answered first.
Okay.
I guess they didn't teach that at Harvard. Wherever it is. You went to school. Can you ask me the first one first?
Oh my God. Ask the second one. Are they both flameouts if they lose the first round?
I suppose the definition of it would be that, but you know,
no, but psychologically, are they flameouts?
I don't think that if the Tigers basketball program loses an 8-9 game, it's a flameout. I don't believe that.
What if they lose a 7-10 game?
It's still going to be, they're going to be what, a
6-11 game. But what if the Grizzlies, same thing, what if the Grizzlies play
the Lakers, or the Lakers, is that is bared out over seven games, over a seven game series, right? I mean, that is really,
Jeffrey pointed that out in one. Yeah, like the better team should win over a seven game.
I mean,
series.
Kevin Ollie won a national championship, right? I mean, in college basketball, I mean, all you got to do is win six games. You know, you got to win four just to win a round. You know, in the NBA. So you win four in college basketball.
Right. Well, plus the other difference is, which Jeffrey highlighted, is that if you had said before the season, what's the goal?
Yeah.
The Tigers, even if they lose in the first round, they would have met my definition of the goal, which is make the tournament. And I don't think my goal for the Grizzlies would have been top six, but it probably would have involved winning a series. So I do think they're a little different.
Right. I do think this. I do think the fact that we're in year seven of Penny and that was the preseason setting is a different conversation, right? Like the fact that it was just make the tournament, God, please.
Right.
I mean, that's not good either.
That speaks to how badly the first 6 years went.
I mean, we definitely moved the goalposts, right? I mean, I think we have to be honest about that.
Yes.
We moved the goalposts because the situation was as dire as it was in the offseason. I would be disappointed with both, obviously. But I think my disappointment would be more pronounced with the Grizzlies just because, again, seven game series. At one point, you're the two seed. You know, I don't think that's where they wind up, by the way. But you know, yes, I, my level at this point would be higher with the Grizzlies, although, you know, I don't think, depending on the matchup, right?
Wouldn't be calamitous either way.
If they lose a first round series to the Clippers, would I call that a flame out? I mean,
no. It's not a flame out. It's just not a flame. Neither
would
a flame out.
I would bet the Clippers in a series against the Grizzlies.
That's not a flame out. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the part I'm having a hard time with.
So you've not had a hard time hating on the AAC this. And it's interesting watching you on Twitter because is anyone pushing back? Like, you're like, this is a disastrous conference. You got to get the hell out. And it costs you every time you lose. Honestly, it costs you when you win, too. It's a freaking disaster. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. Is there anyone saying it's not?
So it's not that people are not saying that it's not a disaster. It's that they don't. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can totally hear you. It's like you made it through the snow and you're sitting right across from me.
Well, I would never do that. I would.
I know. I know.
If it's snowing, John ain't going.
Uh-huh.
All right. But what people are kind of like, they're not saying it's not a disaster, but what this kind of things that they're saying, to the extent that there is pushback, and this is like, this really enrages me to my core, is if the conference is so bad, why don't Memphis win it? They think they're so smart when they say that, right? They think they're gotcha.
Yeah.
They think they really
so bad,
gotcha.
Why haven't they won it? That's a fair point.
And on the surface you may think that, right? On the surface you may think that, but what I would counter with is two points. One is Houston has been in the league with Memphis since the American was formed. And I don't know if anybody has checked and seen how many games Kelvin Sampson has won
right.
in his time at Houston. It's a lot. And by the way, nobody's won the Big 12 since Houston joined either, other than Houston. So there's no shame in not winning your league when Houston's in it. At least this version of Houston is in it. That's the first thing I would say. And by the way, did UCF have to win their league to leave? Did Cincinnati have to win their league to leave? No, they just left. They got invitations and said, sayonara, sucker. And then the other thing I would say is that Memphis is going to win the AAC. They're currently minus 1,200. At BetMGM, I'm just going to use them because they have the odds out. They're minus 1,200 to win the AAC. You want to do the money line probabilities on that? It's a lot, okay? They have a 1.5 game lead plus tiebreakers with like 5 games left in the season, okay? It would take an absolute monumental collapse. Everything going wrong for Memphis and everything going right for everybody else
right.
for Memphis to not win the conference. Okay, great. They win the league. Now what?
It's
Willie Walker come down the street and give me my golden ticket?
So
is that what happens, Charlie?
Let's take Memphis football. I think it's fair.
I don't want to talk about football.
No, I know. No.
Even
there, I'm going to make a point, though. I'm going to say, if you are saying that Memphis football is too good for the league, I think it's fair to say, well, then why don't you win it? But if you're saying is that the league is disastrous and harmful to Memphis football because there are no good wins because it's hard to draw attendance because of what that's true whether you win the league or not, honestly. It damages Memphis football even though Memphis football hasn't won the league. And it's just, I mean, you're blind if you don't say that. Now, does it change at all? We got to let you go here in a second. Florida Atlantic, do you see this is having a Seinfeld night?
No, don't care. Seinfeld is one of the most overrated shows that's ever been on
television.
And I
was going to say, is it a little dated? So here's what they're doing. It's February 20th. Fans,
doesn't hold up.
Fans can meet Kramer. I was going to just let me give you the details and then you can tell me if you're impressed. Fans can meet Kramer live and in person. Custom Seinfeld giveaway, a poster giveaway available while supplies last. A giveaway of a Pez dispenser. Perfect sizing for sneaking into a piano recital. That must have been a Seinfeld episode that I missed. And their renowned marine biology program will receive a special in-game recognition for their role in developing those committed to keeping aquatic life safe from golf ball obstruction. I actually watched that episode. Does this impress you? Does this make you think better of the league?
Yeah, Tulsa has responded. They're going to have a threes company night in honor of John Ritter. what else can we do? Can South Florida used to have like a what was that series about with the two women in like the 70s? You know,
series
what I'm talking about
Mary Tyler Moore. Two women.
Mary Tyler Moore
about the two women.
Let's do the Mary Tyler Moore Show in South Florida.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. All right, man. I'm going to be joining them on an especially special emergency basis. I'm going to be joining Jason and John. All right, we're going to take a break. We got busy second hour. We got Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardam. It is Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.